flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Cavs lost a close one to Houston yesterday. There was many discussions about what Houston got away with, the officiating, Darius's clutch stats, all that and more, and to talk about that, and of course, the Cavaliers about halfway through the season, we're going to head out to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline and welcome on senior NBA writer for The Ringer, Howard Beck. Howard, welcome to the show.
Gentlemen, good afternoon.
Well, it's great to talk to you here. About halfway through the season, the Cavs still have the best record in the NBA. Does that mean you think they are a true NBA contender?
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, I think it was fair for people to be a little bit cautious early in the season, right? Like, they had a little bit of a soft schedule at the beginning. Even the Cavs would acknowledge that. And so they get out to a really fast start, and it's kind of eye-opening. But they're the same team that we've seen the last couple of years be just good, you know, good to good enough, right? Like, you know, hey, solid regular season, losing the first round or something. Still wondering if the pieces fit right and all of this. And so I think the skepticism, or maybe not even skepticism, but just caution, was understandable in November, maybe into December. But when you get to, like, I don't know, can we consider this late January now? I think it's late January, the 23rd. You're in late January. You've got the best record, or tied for the best record in the NBA. You're flirting with a 70-win type season. It's definitely a strong possibility. There's no reason to think that that they won't at least. I mean, listen, if they don't get to 70 wins, and right now I think they're on pace for 68, it'll be because they, you know, some guys get banged up, or they start being cautious with their starters down the stretch or something. But whatever the record ends up being, it's going to be in the 60s. 60-win range is always, I think, historically defined a contender, right? Anything over 50 is good. High 50s is great. Over 60, you are absolutely in championship contention. And I think the only thing, if you're wondering, like, well, how legit are they? How deep can they go? I think it's still fair to say, well, the Celtics are defending champs and are pretty much intact. And, they, you know, they've gone through some weird stuff the last few weeks, but I kind of chalk most of that up to championship hangover type stuff. I think they'll be fine. So that's really the question. To me, the question is not, are the Cavaliers a potential title contender, or are they capable of winning the East? The answer on both of those is yes, but it's going to come down to whenever they finally meet up with the Celtics, assuming that happens in the spring, are they good enough to beat them 4 out of 7 times? And I'm not giving short shrift to the Knicks or the Bucks or whoever else may emerge, but I think it's right now, those are the two teams you have to concentrate on. And if you're the Cavs, obviously you're concentrating on how to get past the defending champs.
Howard, what has surprised you the most about this Cavs season so far?
Just how dominant they've been. Like, listen, I'm a big Kenny Atkinson guy. I've known Kenny since he was an assistant coach on Mike D'Antoni's staff with the Knicks many years ago when I was covering the Knicks as a beat writer. I'm here in Brooklyn where Kenny got his first head coaching job up the road from me with the Nets. I know what he's about. I know, you know, and listen, like there's been a lot of assistant coaches I've known over the couple of decades, three decades that I've been doing this. It doesn't always translate. You never know. Guys who I thought had great aptitude, personality, leadership, communication skills, all that, it doesn't always work. So you don't know. But Kenny's somebody who I've known a long time, and I thought, you know, when he gets another shot after, you know, bouncing around as an assistant in a couple places, obviously most recently with the Warriors, I thought that he would be great for them. And it's no knock on J.B. Bickerstaff, who, of course, is doing a fantastic job in Detroit now. Like, he got them to a certain point, and he got them established as a high-level defensive team. But, sometimes you just need a different set of eyes and a different philosophy to come in. And what Kenny, I think, brought to the table, having coached under Steve Kerr, under Mike D'Antoni, under Tyronn Lue, under several others, I think there was just kind of an offensive philosophy that was really about, as with the Warriors, just ball and player movement. Not so much ISO, not so much just straight pick and roll where it becomes a little bit too predictable and easier to defend. And I think that that's what's opened things up. So, you know, look, a natural leap from Evan Mobley, a natural leap from Darius Garland, but also an offensive philosophy where they're really trying to leverage all four of their star caliber players to set each other up and to keep the ball moving and to keep defenses off balance more. And then obviously credit to Donovan Mitchell for being willing to sacrifice some of his game to allow that to open up too. But I'm only surprised at the level. Like, I thought they would be good. I thought they might even be great. I thought they would be better than they had been last season. Nobody predicted that they were going to be on a 68-70 win pace. Like, nobody saw that coming.
Howard, to look at that core four, and you mentioned, you know, unlocking all the core four together, and, you know, Donovan obviously is the biggest star on the team, gets a lot of credit. Evan Mobley is a guy that, you know, NBA dudes have loved for a really long time, his upside since he was taken third overall at a USC. And Darius has kind of been lost in the shuffle, certainly after last year with some of the credit. But he's made mention about, you know, he wanting to be an all-star this year. He thinks that the core four together should be all-star. How much credit do you give Darius out of the core four for what they've done?
Yeah, I mean, they're almost inextricable from each other. It's hard to you know, and it's funny, too, because, right, we're going to hear who is starting the all-star game tonight, right? That'll be announced on TNT tonight, who got voted into as all-star starters. And as one of the people with the ballot on the media side, we account for 25% of that whole vote. I was debating between Mitchell and Garland for the second spot. I had you know, Jalen Brunson penciled into one of them, and I knew it was going to be one of the Cavs guards. And you can go round and round on this chicken and egg thing where it's like, well, Garland's like efficiency is actually quite a bit ahead of Mitchell's. And so in a lot of ways, Darius Garland's having the better season. And I think as a playmaker too. But then you go back and say, well, but he can do that because Donovan Mitchell has given him, first of all, Donovan Mitchell's the first focus of the defense every night. He's taking on the brunt of things. He is kind of the leader based on, you know, just talent and experience and just standing. And so he Garland can't do what he's doing, I don't think, without Mitchell, but that can go vice versa too. So you, like I say, it's a chicken and egg thing here. They both deserve a ton of credit. And again, I will say it outright. I was skeptical that this backcourt could work long-term or just that it could work at a really high level because they're undersized. They're both guys who are used to having the ball in their hands a lot as both scorers and playmakers. Garland had just become an all-star right before Donovan Mitchell got there. And I thought, well, this guy needs room to keep growing and how's that going to work? But it has worked. I mean, and I'm not the only one who was skeptical. You could find scouts, mm-hmm. coaches, GMs around the league. There was reason to wonder, and I mean, all credit to them. They have done it, and we'll see how far this goes. But it's been fantastic, and so, you know, give them all the credit. Like, you know, they each have a piece of that.
Yeah, I mean, Howard, you were not the only one that was skeptical. You know, there, it was the debate around here was, do you break up the two bigs or do you break up the two guards? And everyone just kind of was choosing their sides between that. But everyone believed you couldn't do all of it, what they're doing, except for Kobe Altman. And Altman obviously ran it back. So does that speak more to the idea that we're just playing more positionless basketball? Like, why is it working when everyone said it couldn't work?
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you can do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's a great question. I think, so there were two reasons to think it might not work, right? A little bit of overlap in the guards, a little bit of overlap in the bigs, and especially when Mobley wasn't much of a knockdown threat from outside before. So part of this is just like guys making progress individually, right? Evan Mobley's a better three-point. He's not doing it in volume, but he's a better, more reliable three-point shooter now. And because Jared Allen is not, hey, cool, now you've got two complementary bigs because at least one of them can draw the defense out with. If they're both non-shooters, that can create problems in today's NBA. The guard part of it, again, is you just have to have two guys who are both willing to give up some of their control and their usage of the offense. So the fact that everybody's been willing is a big part of why it's worked. Evan Mobley evolving his game, as you would hope, you know, a high-level pick was going to do anyway. That's part of it. I think Kenny Atkinson's offense and his philosophy is part of it. It's a lot of things. It's everything. It also, by the way, didn't hurt that when Atkinson got there, he immediately gets to pick up where he left off with Jared Allen and Caris LeVert, two guys who he had coached with the Nets when the Nets became, you know, this you know, competitive beyond expectation team when they were in a rebuilding mode, you know, several years ago. And those are guys who had thrived under Kenny Atkinson before, which, you know, probably at least gave them a little bit of a foothold. Like, they're not as critical to the success as the backcourt guys, but they were, you know, players who I think, you know, Kenny already had a credibility with and, you know, could walk in on day one and have some familiarity.
Howard Beck of the Ringer on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So, on one hand, Kenny Atkinson has kind of stated publicly and you know, talked about how fair it is to talk about how the Cavs struggle against big wings. And on the other hand, reports say the Cavs don't want to touch their top eight in trying to improve this roster. Should the Cavs be clinging to their top eight as is, or should they be more open to maybe trying to find a couple big wings?
It's tough because the best of the big wings, and, you know, the one that comes to mind immediately, of course, is back in my backyard again, Cam Johnson with the Nets, who, you know, is you know, certainly available for the right price right now. But he's going to cost, you know, he's going to cost assets, and then there's also just the salary part of it. And the Cavs are in a position now where the other thing that has caused some skepticism, I think, across the league about this group is that it's really hard under this collective bargaining agreement, under this salary cap, to have four max or max-ish guys, right? Like, eventually you hit the second apron and you become the Suns where, and it's different, obviously, you've got younger players, but when you become the Suns where all of a sudden you're really hamstrung about adding more players. So bringing in another high salary, even a sub-max salary, whether we're Cam Johnson or somebody else, it's just difficult. And it becomes more and more unwieldy. You have less room for error. If a guy gets hurt, it's hard to replace guys. So I don't know if it's practical for them to make a big move right now. And I'm not entirely positive they need to. Like, could they upgrade at small forward? Sure. But they've got a good rotation of guys who can bring a little defense and shooting. And chemistry is a funny thing in the NBA, too. Like, sometimes you should leave well enough alone. Like, you could look and say, oh, maybe there's a better option out there at this one spot. But if it costs you guys who were, like, really important part of just, you know, the locker room culture or the personality of the team, sometimes you don't want to pull on those threads. So I could certainly make the case that they should just, you know, be confident in who they are and what they have right now and then see how far it goes, right? Like, this is the first time we've seen this Cavs team play at this level. Maybe just let it ride, barring injury or something else that would force you to make a move. See how far you can take it. See if you're ready to knock off the Celtics. And if it doesn't happen, you've got the offseason to figure out what else you can do.
Howard, I
got to
ask about last night's game. Darius is 90% free throw shooter this year. He misses the first two out of three at the line, and the Cavs lose 109-108. I don't know if you want to call it choking, but when you have a 90% free throw shooter when the game's on the line and he misses two out of three, what do you call it?
I don't know. Nerves, maybe. Listen, I was there at a couple of the games when the Cavs and Knicks played in the playoffs. What was that? Two springs ago. And I did think that Garland and Mobley at that time in their first playoff appearance in the NBA both had a little bit of deer in headlights going on. But they were young. It was their first time in the playoffs. The Garden is really intense. I think you just have to go through some of those moments. And like last night, yeah, it's just a regular season game against the Rockets. But, you know, these guys are human. You're going to have moments like that. Like, I started my career covering the NBA, covering the Lakers of Shaq and Kobe. I watched Kobe miss critical free throws a couple times, too. It happens. So I wouldn't chalk it up to much. I don't care whether it's calling it choking or whatever, just nerves. But, like, it happens. It happens even to the best players in the NBA.
Howard, great stuff as always, man. Really appreciate you. Keep killing it at the Ringer, and talk to you down the line.
Appreciate it, fellas. Thank you.
Howard Beck there of the Ringer on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We have yet to get into, to this point, the Darius performance last night against the Rockets. We'll get into that next at 3:22 on 92.3 The Fan.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.